work today in Wichita, shall we?
This is microphone three. How does it sound?
This is sort of like that first 15 seconds of the Muppet Show when Scooter's running downstairs and trying to get Kermit out of the dressing room. All right. It's, I don't know what time it is. The clock has been turned off.
I believe it's 12 noon.
More or less. That might be enough for some of us. Some of us like a little specificity with our time giving, Tim Riley.
It's 39 seconds past the hour of 12 noon.
Thank you. And this, the month of August in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming by, making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed, yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. It is the Rick Emerson radio program. I woke up this morning as a KGON DJ. I've totally got that, who's that guy in Private Parts, the Duke of Rock? This is the Duke of Rock, baby. Fog Hat 3 coming up this weekend. In any event, thank you for coming by. It is Wednesday. It's 503-733-2970. If you want to email us today, you can do that as well. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Here's the thing. You know when I knew it was all going to go south last night? Because we were sitting there at Dante's. And I'm not saying it's all gone south. I don't know. I haven't read any spoilers. Don't call and give them to me, you sons of bitches. You ravenous bastards.
Give them to me.
Email Sarah. If you have spoilers about tonight's rock, I am still undecided.
Sarah at 970.am.
I am undecided.
I want to know.
I don't know how to harness this.
I want to be able to prepare. Are you?
I'm just saying I'm unclear about how to harness the new technology. Can you, as Barry Manilow would say, can you sweeten my mic just a little bit?
Could you replace my hips?
I don't know what sweeten means. That was before my time.
Could you pull my skin a little tighter? And give me different hair. It means turn me up. Dead man. Thank you very much. I don't want to overexert today. It's a...
So funny. Everyone else is deafening. You're always telling me to turn other people down. You're a microphone. Up, up, up.
That's because there's never enough Rick. No such thing as too much Rick, baby. As many volume units as their little ears
look
can
take. Look at how high your microphone is compared to Tim and mine.
That's because you are in full voice. I am not. I'm only playing with half a bag full of clubs today. Playing with half a bag. The Rick Emerson story.
A quarter of a vocal cord.
Could you replace my hips? No, I saw Barry Manilow in concert at the Delta Center one time in Salt Lake.
Dancing to Mandy?
No, I gotta tell you, people make fun of Barry Manilow, myself included, but that was a damn good show. But Barry Manilow is a guy who, and I know this will come as a huge shock to everybody, but he gets a little snippy when something is not going correctly. He doesn't get angry.
No.
Oh, I saw that, on TV, when he was, I guess, in a makeup chair sitting next to an African-American. He sent some woman in and told her to do Barry Manilow's makeup.
On American Idol.
Yeah.
It was on American Idol. And he was, I guess, just a total queen to the... Just a completely bitchy to all the people who were doing his makeup. And I saw him at the Delta Center. And he was looking up at that vague area, like when the teacher looks at that spot in the back of the classroom that's really no one. That's her way of looking at everyone. She picks a spot like down the middle of the aisle somewhere where no one is sitting. And Manilow does this thing where he looks kind of towards the back corner. He goes, could you sweeten my microphone, please? And then, I don't know, it's probably two or three songs later again with you. Is there anyone back there? He actually said, is there anyone back there? And he asked three different times during the course of the night for them to... And then at one point was complaining about the spotlight being, I swear to God, wrong shade of pink.
No. Maybe there was somebody back there.
Tim just wrote down a name on a piece of paper and held that name up in the studio, speculating as to who might have been running the sound for the Barry Manilow concert. I will have the decorum to not repeat that name on the air here. Anyway.
It's cold in here.
Is it cold where you are, Sarah?
Well, because I, unlike some other people, still bike to work. No poor excuses for me.
I
got a little rained on. It's okay.
Sorry,
I'm aboard a locomotive.
I'm a huge sissy. Tim is coming here on a...
You know what? I think that you're thankful that your voice is going out.
Horse-drawn carriage.
It's an excuse for you to take your car to work.
Yes. Because there's nothing I love more than it being... It took me a goddamn hour to get across the Ross Island Bridge this morning. I mean, not just the bridge, but I live basically on 39th and Powell, that area there. Not too far from that intersection. From there to here, which is the Coin Tower downtown, which is, I would say...
It doesn't look that far.
Late at night, it's 5 minutes. I would say in a more normal morning, it's maybe 15, 20. It took me over an hour to get here. From 39th and Powell to the Coin Tower took me more than an hour today. And it's where you're just sitting there in traffic and there's no reason. There's no cause. Because it turned out that there had been an accident earlier, but the accident was cleared. You know what it was? It was some flares sitting by the side of the road. That's all it was. Idiots stopping to stare at bright candles. That's it. Look, it's a candle of a slightly different shape. Let me stop like a goddamned idiot and stare at it for 30 seconds.
Do you need a hug?
Let me keep Rick from getting to work and having a fruitful life. Ow.
You want a hug?
No. No, I do not.
I'm going to give you one if you don't cheer up.
Do I get to pick the person who hugs me?
No, I get to.
Is it going to be you?
It's going to be Scotty J.
No, I do not wish to have a hug. Anywho, here's when I knew things were going south last night. We were at Dante's, and this was by way of saying that if you have spoilers about tonight's rock star, do not send them to me. Don't be an a-hole and call them like Britney Spears. That's not even going to get me to open an email anymore these days. Uh-huh. An email entitled Britney Spears Bosoms is no longer an attractive thing to me, and you'll find out why later on. But send those to Sarah if you've got spoilers. She wants to, and then we will decide later whether I wish to hear. I don't know whether to use this technology for good or for evil yet. We'll figure it out. But we were at Dante's last night watching Rockstar Supernova. And it is not a spoiler to say that Brooke Burke did that stupid, we have now a look at the first batch of votes.
She was wearing a lot of blush last night.
You know, she was wearing a lot of goddamn ugly is what she was wearing last night. She was wearing a lot of ugly skin on an ugly skeleton.
Was it you who was talking about the stylist for all the contestants and how they had to specify, they clearly stated over and over again how they do not dress Brooke Burke?
Oh, yeah. But Storm was in the initial bottom three last night. Again, I don't know how that all turned out, so don't be telling me. But here's how I knew it was all going to go badly, because we were sitting with Davey at Dante's, and Davey, the Storm significant other, unless you read the Oregonian, in which case you know a whole lot more about that. But we were sitting there, and, you know, they come back, and they do the final segment where they take that final commercial break, and they come back, and Brooke Burke says, here's the initial tally based on the first few votes that have come in. And he ducks out right before that, in that final commercial break, which is about 10:50, the final break. Because there have been sort of, see, it makes me feel like I'm in the inside to say this. There had been paparazzi hounding him. There had been, like, just people from whatever, just like little, you know, little newspapers and little cable access shows or whatever. They were all
Tribune.
Yeah, that's KPAM. Some bald-headed freak from KPAM was there. And it was a lot of, like, Mr. Nipples, can I have a moment of your time, please? And so Davey turned to me at some point, and this really does make me feel like an insider. Davey turned to me at some point, he's like, yeah, I'm going to try to sneak out of here. I don't want to talk to these press guys. I'm like, yeah, screw those press guys. Stupid media. Screw them. Davey Nipples, who's a friend of mine, whose number is in my cell phone.
Mr. Nipples.
Totally Mr. Nipples. Could I just have... Anyway, see, he's like, screw this. I don't want to talk to these press guys, so I'm going to leave it. I'm like, okay. But then it occurred to me as he was walking out, I'm like, well, that's kind of weird. He could have just stuck around to the end and snuck out then. Why is he... And then, of course, that's when they came back with the thing. And obviously, he just... You know what I mean? They come back, and I know that Davey can't keep himself away from the message board. He reads the spoilers like as soon as they come out, and understandably so. So he didn't want to be around there to have some jackhole like shoving a microphone. How do you feel? You know, so he kind of took off right at the end. But you should have. But it was an ugly crowd last night. And when I say ugly, I mean it was a fine crowd. But I mean when things were going great, the crowd was fantastic. But like when Delana was singing, so-called. Delana with a bunch of huge, bizarre things attached to her face was singing. And then when that first vote came in, it's like, I think it's like last week I was saying if Dave DeMar had been there, the crowd would have actually torn him limb from limb and cast lots for his clothing. So it was last night during some of the moments when that crowd turns on people.
Mm-hmm.
It all went kind of bad last night for several of the contestants, including Delana. Anyway, so we'll talk more about that. We have the Rockstar recap coming up. Speaking of forward promotion, let me find the goddamn sounder that I didn't load up. Let me do that, huh? Huh? How about I do that? Let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show.
A postman is the person in your neighborhood.
Well, why did that only...
Patty cake.
Hell. Wait, let me find something else here. Sarah Dillon, you're a goddamn whore. Oh, wait, that's not it.
Yeah, that's not it.
I'm sorry.
Is that part of the new promotion for the next hour?
Patty cake.
You're a patty cake.
Let me know. Welcome to the Rick Emerson Show Me Friends again.
A postman is a person in your neighborhood.
Mailman Chris, how are you, sir?
Well caffeinated, and proud to say I am now powered by Viso.
Oh, fantastic. Are you drinking the Will or the Vigor, sir?
I've had two bottles of Vigor this morning.
Oh,
dude, oh, you're going to regret that. When did that happen?
One at 7 and one at 8:30.
Okay.
You won't go to sleep till next week.
Do you feel as though you're dying yet?
No, but I'm feeling really good.
Yeah, no, it's going to turn on you, though. Now, look, we love Viso here, but I have to tell you, two bottles is that's.
You can build a house by yourself.
Yeah,
without any help.
You don't want to screw with that, sir. It'll kill you dead. You abuse that Viso. You just tread lightly. Is all I'm saying. Your body is a temple. All right. Anyway.
They should give that to politicians on the campaign trail. That'd be the perfect thing.
Viso?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, because seriously, because I think you have enough of that.
And oh, it's like Joe Lieberman. Then he really have Joe.
They ought to have a Joe-mentum flavor. Mm-hmm. I bet I could get Alex to do that, like a special run of Viso for us.
I think you could, yeah.
If it's just called Joe-mentum.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a bad idea. What flavors would that consist of?
Oh,
there's probably some sort of. We could do a whole thing with that. Mm-hmm. I want a Joe-mentum flavored Viso. That was the great taste of Joe Lieberman. It just tastes like Polident. And dust. and felt. Joe Lieberman
and wine.
Joe Lieberman tastes like felt. Okay. Patty cake. Here's what we're going to get to today. We have the Darwin watch today. Brittany watch. Jim Roop will be joining us. Also CNN radio correspondent Bob Costantini. The rock star recap featuring Kristen from accounting. And I believe. Oh, and we're going to talk about the top 10 Ron Popeil inventions, just for Tim Riley.
Great.
There you go. That's what I've got today, sir.
He's a true American.
All right, I've got the Darwin Watch, the Britney Watch, Jim Roop, Bob Constantini, the rock star, and the top 10 Ron Popeil inventions.
Yes, and here's the thing about that Viso. There was once a time when Sarah and I had two bottles. I think it was the same day, actually.
It was on a Friday. I remember I went home and curled up in a ball.
I had to leave the room. I couldn't get a word in edgewise.
It seemed like such a good idea at the time.
That's because we're like junkies and we both wanted to finish all of them first.
Can't let it sit behind. Must consume all. As the day went on, everything just started moving a little too quickly, and I started seeing ghostly balls of white light floating everywhere. So I would beware, and take care, also beware.
Well, I mean, it's the Red Bull.
Red Bull. Like Red Bull Schmedschmull.
You know, I think the caffeine content isn't that much different, but I don't feel the hyper tinge that you get when you drink Red Bull.
Hey, was it here the other day that I just said there was some word, like a nerd word, I was going to start saying that Viso contained? It was like Quinzizens. When Aaron was here, it was
something
like,
about Ghostbusters or.
It was like a midichlorian and it contains, yeah, something or other.
It was about Transformers, but I don't remember what the word was.
It wasn't Energon. It was something or other. All right. Anyway, thank you, Chris. We will check in with you at the end of today's program to see where we are push-up wise.
Talk to you then.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, sir. All right. Sarah Dillon, what do you have there?
I don't know what this is. This is one of the ones I had. This isn't the one that I originally had.
Sarah Dillon is holding up that's a GoBot.
I thought it was candy.
GoBot?
Like, may I see that?
I carried it around with me my whole life. I don't know why it keeps ending up in drawers.
I do not believe this is a transformer. I believe this is
a rock.
Isn't that what Tom Hanks is like in Toys? Or no, in Toys, in Big, where he's got the thing that turns into a building, and he's, I don't get it. I believe this is a GoBot, but I'm not entirely sure about that. You do have to ask yourself, what is the point of a toy that turns into a rock? What is the. Where does the joy come in having such a toy, do you suppose? Where did you get this GoBot toy, sir?
I don't know, when I was young, I've had it for. Ever. And I keep toting it around every place I move.
Does it come from a rack? It has no head. It's a headless toy.
No, it has a head right there.
It has a head.
Where? Oh, I can barely see it.
Did you say, does it come from a rack?
Yes.
Oh, because it has no head?
Yes.
Just a little edge. Wait, hold on. Let me just with the...
Patty cake.
There you go. Thank you. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented and GoBot-having Sarah...
Okay, I've always wondered what this was, because it didn't have any...
Head.
Ed.
Patty cake.
All right. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing well.
Did you get a lot of sleep last night?
I did. I have become lame these past couple weeks.
Yeah, that's
every it. Night I'm in bed before midnight.
All right, because I got nothing. Got nothing.
I just went home and ate pizza last night. Watched some news radio.
I still got to bring sports night for you. Fantastic program.
Yeah.
Tim Riley's working on the following stories today with your edification and blah, 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 blah.
Tom Cruise goes from Top Gun to Top Ramen after getting fired from Paramount. I put hours of thought into
that. Did you write that?
I did.
Why is it on the days when I have no voice?
I started early on that one.
Fantastic.
Northwest, because it happened around 6 last night, Northwest Airlines tells its fired employees to go dumpster diving. An armless Florida man is stopped for speeding twice. A mysterious slimy Vaseline-like goo washes up on Florida beaches.
Okay. Slimy Vaseline-like goo. And so forth. Oh, it's Quinticons.
Oh,
and
we have Jen Lane coming in today, too.
Well, I wasn't going to tease that, because who knows?
Will she actually be here? Yes, she won't. Don't be grumpy and sick.
I'm not being grumpy and sick. I'm saying Jen is a busy woman with a full schedule. Sometimes things happen and she's not able to make it in. You know that she herself made that comment on the air last week. That sometimes things get in the way. She has a business to run and so forth.
He's starting to sound like Dennis Spitzenbach.
He is.
Sometimes, No, that's Harvey Fierstein. All right. It's all coming up and so forth.
So, isn't this the part where you tell us about your night, Rick?
Yeah, my night was a lot of sitting around. Well, I went to Dante's and then I went home. I got to bed late. And then here's the thing. Did you ever do that thing where it's not too much sleep, but it's drastically less sleep than you really should have, but you inexplicably are rested? Do you know what I'm talking about? So I get to bed late. I mean, I'm seriously. I get in bed. I go to bed at like 2-something. And then Tim is playing with a GoBot.
I can't put it down.
No, but here's the thing. And then at like 4:30 in the morning, I woke up. 4:30 in the morning, just kind of like, well, and I'm rested. And just sitting there, clearly awake. Where it's one of those things where you wake up and you realize immediately you're not really going to go back to sleep. So I went up to the, you know, rolling around. So I just went up to the living room and just kind of sat down on the couch. And I dozed a little bit later on as the morning went on. But that was pretty much it. So literally 2 hours of sleep. Woke up, bing, it's like a pot toast coming out of a toaster. It was just fine. I'm sure that's going to last until about around 1.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to turn into a pumpkin. It also, by the way, I would like to thank the politicians and legislature of Oregon for ensuring now that I cannot get any, I repeat, any, underline any, effective cold medication. I can no longer buy anything that actually works or has any degree of efficacy when it comes to helping my cold symptoms. In no way can I purchase anything now without a prescription to ease the sinus congestion that I have inside my head. I'd like to thank you for that. It used to be that you had to wait in line for like an hour and a half at the pharmacy, but at least you could buy like Sudafed. Not anymore. That's one of those laws that they sort of muttered about, but you kind of forgot that it was actually coming down the pike. Do you all know that?
Yes.
Yeah. I knew that you had, because there was that thing where you went to Safeway and there was like a little cardboard sign that said, you know, oh, we're sorry, bring this cardboard sign to the pharmacy. And then you waited in line and then they sold you Sudafed and they had to put your name in some book of people that they're going to round up and send to a camp. Now it's not the case. Now you can no longer buy Sudafed, period, end of story.
Well, they skipped the camp part. They're just going to dig a big ditch.
No, it's just illegal. You can now no longer, the only thing they make now is that alternate Sudafed PE, which according to a large story in the New York Times 2 weeks ago, does nothing.
Yeah.
Because the drug they put in it is effectively inert and a placebo. So Sudafed, Actifed, anything that you may once have used, now illegal, you can, but it is for your protection.
We'll soon have a nation sounding like Danny Bonaducci.
Yes. Mr. Creedy. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for a journey into the ministry of truth.
Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Good afternoon, comrades. DNA swipe from John Mark Carr after his arrest last week in connection with the JonBenet Ramsey murder might be irrelevant, in part because something got screwed up when samples were taken at the crime scene in 1996.
That seems hard to believe.
Mm-hmm.
1996 was such a good year for law enforcement.
No. Or many of us.
Yeah.
in this room.
Have we decided that that was actually the worst year in the history of our lives?
I think so, yes.
What was your very worst year professionally? Was it 1996?
It, It was a cross between.
Can we pause for a moment? Can you turn that back up? Can we acknowledge for a moment how great that music is?
It is.
Oh, is it gone? Well, it's gone now.
Oh, darn it all the heck.
I was just going to say. Listen to that. Somewhere Diana from downtown is beaming. I'd just like to take this moment to acknowledge the greatness of me. I'd like to thank me for finding this music. Also, let's hear it for me, for this flawless edit where it kind of loops over and over again here. Thank you.
I'm so lucky to be in your presence, Rick.
It really is true. Anyway, so, no, 1996 was, that was the year that I got replaced by Radio Disney. Mm-hmm. That was the year, you said you were unemployed for 2 years after that?
And I was robbed at knife point.
I didn't know
at
that.
At a sleazy hotel.
Oh, yeah, I did know that story, yeah.
Aw.
Yeah, good times. Yeah, I had a whole lot of nothing happen to me that year.
That was the year I had to move halfway through my junior year of high school to a new place.
Oh, really? From where to where?
From Whidbey Island to Bremerton.
Whidbey Island's kind of a Tony kind of a place. It's sort of upper crust, isn't it?
No, it's terrible. I hated it.
Isn't it Whidbey Island? I thought Whidbey Island was where the Haves lived. Or no, am I thinking of Bainbridge Island?
You're thinking of Bainbridge Island.
Okay, all right.
And I had a mustard-colored Montego that overheated if I drove over 3 miles.
I don't even know what a Montego is.
That was a Mercury.
It's one of the places they list in Kokomo. That's all I know.
It was like a boat.
Okay. So 1996 was a bad year for all of us. Also a bad year for the O.J. Simpson folk. And a bad year for everybody in Boulder, Colorado. Colorado, man. They had they have the Alfred Packer thing. They have the Columbine thing. They have the JonBenet Ramsey thing. There's something wrong in Colorado.
I believe I was run over by a car, too, riding my bike that year.
How would you be unsure of that? How is it that you would not know? Were you hanging out with Todd Gorger?
I just can only remember picking myself up off the road saying, pick yourself up now or you'll die.
Were you sure that this was on the road and not on the Bataan Death March?
I think I was too young for that. But had I been alive, I definitely would have been on
You're
that.
You're going to Topaz.
Okay.
Okay.
So meanwhile, back to this John Mark Carr story.
Yes.
His relatives say, sure, bring them on. Book and movie deals, please. They're all available. Let's see. We have aunts, uncles, neighbors, anyone who might have known him. Then the Los Angeles attorney who's advising John Carr is saying statements he made to the media may have been taken out of context.
His statements are taken out of context. They're sound bites. I consider them statements made by Mr. Carr in the throng of the media. And you should know he actually suffered physical injuries as a result of being pressed upon by camera people in Thailand.
Okay, whatever. God forbid he should suffer physical injuries. I mean, whatever. And what is it they were... I don't understand the taken out of context part. Was there some what phrase could you put before or after the I killed JonBenet Ramsey, kill, dead, die, that would somehow make it safe for family listening?
Meanwhile, Viacom chairman Sumner Redstone, says his company's Paramount Pictures.
Please don't fire me.
Has decided to end its 14-year relationship with the Mission Impossible stars production outfit. Crew/Wagner Productions. Is this Robert Wagner, maybe?
No, it's a creepy-looking automaton woman. Oh. Have you seen her picture? Whatever, blah, 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 Wagner. She just looks all like a fembot. She just looks like it. I mean, she's very pleasant-looking, but in that sort of steely way that lets you, you think she might turn into liquid metal and shiv you at any moment.
Redstone specifically cites Tom's antics over the past year as reason for the split, saying, quote, his recent conduct has not been acceptable to Paramount.
It's pretty fantastic. Here's the great thing about being Sumner Redstone, who is the chairman of Viacom.
Yes.
Is that A, you're 500 years old. B, you are worth $4 billion. And so those two things combined, when you are really rich, you don't care what people think. When you're really old, you don't care what people think. When you're really rich and really old, you really, really don't care what anybody thinks of you. So, Sumner Redstone, he just doesn't care. You know what he looks like? He looks like James Cromwell. If you don't know who Sumner Redstone is, he looks like James Cromwell, the farmer from Babe. Mm-hmm. Also the president in Clear and Present Danger with Harrison Ford.
Or 3 pounds of ground beef out of the meat department.
It's Tim Riley who said that, Mr. Redstone. Anyway, so yeah, so they told Tim to Tim. They told Tom.
They will be telling me.
They will be telling Tim. They told Tom Cruise to go eat it, which is fantastic and satisfying in a very deep way. I can't even describe to you how satisfying that is in a straight. And I think we're all on the same page there.
Peter Barth of Variety magazine, the Bible of the industry, gives his view of what this is all about.
This is really about power in Hollywood, and it's very unusual that this kind of combat is revealed so strikingly.
But he has enough money to rent his own movie studio.
Tom Cruise, I'm sure, will make just as much money financing his own pictures as he could from a studio.
I don't know. I do have to wonder, and I hate to be another guy, another pundit, punditizing, or whatever it is the pundits do about this. But you do have to wonder if this is going to be one of those things where it affects people going to... Let me ask you this, Sarah Dillon. Sarah's excited because someone sent her an eBay posting that shows your GoBot. How much is it going for?
$4.21.
Okay.
But I'm going to make it our picture.
Our MySpace photo? Fantastic. Yeah. So let me ask you this.
You can see it's taken from John Carr's luggage.
Do you, it's made out of a... It really looks like it's made out of part of Nicole Richie, your GoBot. Because it's just all wrinkled and like some weird sort of non-naturally occurring brown color.
It is. You're right.
Let me ask you this. Are you one of those people that falls into the I would no longer see a Tom Cruise movie because I don't want to give money to him because he's a nutcase camp? Or do you even care?
No, I did. Yeah, I won't. That's the thing with Mission Impossible 3.
So you've sworn off Tom, so you don't want to give any money to his nuttery.
No, because he was slightly insane, but not completely bonkers by the time that movie came out about the end of the world. What
he
was
is
that?
Now.
War of the Worlds.
Yeah, I liked that.
That was the last Tom Cruise movie I paid for, I think.
Yep, me too.
I guess there's only been the one since then. Here's the thing about him is he sort of, how do I put this? Tom Cruise was always crazy, but he did sort of keep it to himself. He wasn't, you know, crazy's fine. Just be crazy in the privacy of your own, you know, whatever. His crazy took on a certain sort of Hitler-esque menace to it for a while.
Like Patsy Cline-like crazy.
Yes, exactly. Like every time you saw him, he had those huge shades on and like the weird, and all of that stuff that attracted people to Tom Cruise, like the fact that he had flawless hair and perfect teeth, it's all fine. Until you start to have, like, a really fascistic tone to everything you say, and then you just look like one of those guys from V who's come here to turn us into food. And so, yeah, I'm going to pass on seeing, I think, any Tom Cruise films for the immediate future. So there you go, Tom Cruise. Have fun. You can make those small art films that you've been wanting to make. You and George Lucas, that you've been wanting to create for so long.
More intimate pursuits.
Yes. The band's appeal has become more selective. Bada bing.
An embarrassing moment turned criminal for one man traveling with his mother at O'Hare Airport last week. When airport security asked 29-year-old Mazda Aman what the suspicious-looking object in his briefcase was, he said it was a bomb. That's because he didn't want to see what it really was in front of his mother.
Wait. Vibrator.
Nope.
Wait, hold on. Okay, so this is a man?
Mm-hmm.
I love stories like this.
Mm-hmm.
I love anything that allows me to play 20 questions. Hold on, don't answer that yet. This is a man going through where? O'Hare?
Yeah. That's a suspicious-looking device.
Did they discover this at the X-ray?
Let's see.
Where in security was this when they discovered
it
this?
Does not say.
All right. And it's a suspicious device. He said it was a bomb.
He said it was a bomb.
Rather than reveal.
In front of his mother.
It was. Let me ask you this. Is this device used sexually or in a sexual context?
It is.
Is it handcuffs?
No.
Okay. Is it a... we always use the indefinite article, the vibrator, not your vibrator. Is it a vibrator and or dildo?
I wouldn't say it belongs to that same family. I would say...
It doesn't belong to the phylum.
It's a favorite leisure time device of, say, a certain judge.
Oh, he was going to... yeah, really, it was a penis, it was like a thing?
Yes.
With the pump and then
mm-hmm.
the...
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And now he's charged with a felony and faces up to 3 years in prison.
Well, there's some joke there. There really is. If I was on FARC right now, I'd be able to think of some joke, probably. There's some joke there about owning the penis, the item. And then because you don't want anybody to see the penis-oriented item, you end up going to prison for 3 years. There's some sort of ironic tag just waiting to be used. I just don't know what it is, though. I can't.
So I guess this was a long trip, or is this something he couldn't live without for a day or so?
What do you mean by long?
I don't know.
Okay. It's is this what time is it? Are we at the bottom of the hour?
We are.
Yeah.
This is Bob Gossin.
That's why we need 4 hours.
That's exactly. Oh yeah, we should announce that. By the way, don't forget. Beginning Monday, the Rick Emerson radio program now offers 33% more goodness. It's really not. It's at 32.5, I think, because we're already going to 306. Yeah. The Rick Emerson show becomes 4 hours in length as of Monday. You can hear this. You can hear this golden and well-rested voice for 240 minutes a day. Beginning Monday, this program airs 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. So we're sort of during the day, John and Jeff. So Stephanie Miller's going to be an extra hour as well. Stephanie Miller till 10 a.m. So she's going to be 4 hours, and then our show will go till 3 p.m. but start at 11. So our show is 4 hours as of Monday.
Because the public demanded it.
Because the people demanded this, and we live to serve. Let us now welcome to the Rick Emerson radio program CNN radio correspondent and man of the people, Bob Costantini. How are you, sir?
Good. Well, it's, what time is it? Oh, yeah, it's barely afternoon there.
You have no idea what you're talking about.
I have no idea. Well, I have a clue, I think, but you never know.
Been doing a little drinking today, Bob?
No. They usually tell me what you want to talk about ahead of time.
All right. And so this is, so I could ambush you right now with anything and you have no idea. You would have to play catch up. You would have to think on your feet right now.
I am, I think I'm relatively good at dancing, but there are times when I just shrug my shoulders and say I don't know.
My news director has handed me an embarrassing story about a man caught with a sexual device at a Chicago airport and is suggesting that I toss this to you, as so to speak, and see what your thoughts on it are. I think I will not do that, though.
No reaction from the White House.
Okay, that's fantastic. We'll get a hold of that. That deserves an Ed McCarthy laugh. Wait. All right, there you go. That's genius. Well played, sir.
Yeah.
You're going to rise, and you're going to push that Lisa Goddard right out of that slide.
No, never.
All right. God, so I was reading this... I don't know, late last night, this morning, I saw this story on Yahoo. And I don't like to overuse terms like Orwellian or censorship or newspeak or any of that stuff that the left, and I'm about as bleeding heart as they get, but the left overuses so many of these terms to the point that they have no meaning. But in George Orwell's 1984, there really is this thing called newspeak, in which... there are words and phrases that are given new meanings, or that there's sort of a double talk that goes on to sort of mask the government's true intentions. And so last night I was reading a story saying that the U.S. Marine Corps is going to begin, and this is the phrase they used, the U.S. Marine Corps is going to begin involuntary recalls. Now, when I hear the phrase involuntary recalls, that to me just kind of sounds like a draft.
Well, if those who are in the reserves, of course, understand that they are subject to this kind of thing, the notion that some of these men and women will be going back to Iraq and or Afghanistan for third tours of duty certainly doesn't sit well, perhaps, with a lot of people. What will happen is that... the Marine Corps has been is going to recall a total of 2,500 at any given moment out of the individual ready reserves. And just a short time ago, a White House spokeswoman, Dana Perino, said they would look first to people who would volunteer to do this. It would be a voluntary recall initially. That is, reservists who feel that they can go back to Iraq and or Afghanistan again.
That seems overly optimistic, I would
think.
Well,
and then go to the involuntary aspect of all this. She did say this was it shows that this is, quote, a difficult struggle.
Yes.
That the United States is facing.
I guess maybe it's more accurate to say that it seems like what my friend Martin would call a test balloon. It does seem a little bit, and again, I'm not trying to be paranoid, a little bit maybe like a run-up to a draft, only because, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, when they say, I mean, I understand that when you sign up and you are in the reserve, and, you know, the reserve is just what it sounds like. It's like a water reserve or petroleum reserve. It's there to be used in case of an emergency. But you hear so much about these guys who supposedly have finished and fulfilled all of their obligations and are not supposed to be eligible to be yanked back into something like this. Is that the case here?
Well, yes, normally in a combat situation, and I'm sure someone may want to correct me on this if I'm wrong, but normally in a combat situation, a second tour of duty is not terribly unusual, but, you know, it's one of those things that you'd like to avoid. And obviously third and fourth tours, which we are getting into in Iraq and Afghanistan, are really out of the ordinary. Now, the Marines have a pool of 38,000 total individual ready reserves who could be called back up to active duty. But again, I want to emphasize that in any given moment, only 2,500 will be needed, or it's required by law, actually, that only 2,500 actually be in the sort of combat situation at any given moment. They will go for tours, perhaps, 12 to 18 months.
Are the, we heard a story, I don't know, about a month ago, where I think it was the Army, claimed that they were exceeding their recruiting goals, and my speculation was that they had just lowered their recruiting goals in order to exceed them. Is that, are they, I mean, it sounds like a dumb question, but is the military having trouble getting guys to, because I remember that the big, like, semi-tractor, trailer, truck, whatever thing, coming to my high school when I was a kid, and they would take you in and they'd show you a little film strip and give you a hat, and then, like, you know, 18% of the guys or whatever that walked through ended up taking a form, and, like, of those, like, half maybe ended up signing up. It doesn't really seem like that's the, like, it's that easy to get guys these days. Are they running out of guys who are signing up?
They're not necessarily running out of men and women who are signing up, but they, we do hear, stories here in Washington, and a lot of members of Congress are going on about this, that the Army in particular has lowered its standards considerably. And of course, I don't want to denigrate anybody who's signed up, but it is this notion that to meet the quotas that are necessary, they're having to perhaps lower standards and take young men and women that they wouldn't normally have taken in the past. But again, you know, there is a substantial need to get people into the pipeline as we look at the possibility that we're going to be in Iraq for, you know, perhaps years to come, really.
Well, I suppose it's all about how one defines the word need. Let's get this quick call here. Kevin, you're on the Rick Emerson Show with Bob Costantini. What's up, Kevin?
Hey. I just wanted to explain this IRR thing to you. What happens is when you sign up for any contract with the military, the actual time that they demand you come in and perform your duty is only about half the time if you're signing up for an active duty contract.
Oh,
reserve, for example,
right.
You sign up for 8 years, but you're only required to show up for 6 years. After that, you can go into the individual ready reserve, which is basically like being on call at work. They don't pay you, and you don't have to show up, but they can make you show up if they decide they need you, and that's what they're doing now.
All right, cool. Thank you. There you go. That's Kevin. All right, so there you go, Bob.
Well, certainly, if you're sent to Iraq or Afghanistan, it becomes a full-time job.
Yeah, that's not really a thing where you're going home on the weekends to hang out in front of 7-Eleven or anything. All right.
To be sent there again, you know, a lot of people are saying what a strain this is putting on people's lives, and it certainly is so, it would seem.
Well, I will just say on this, I don't mean to go out on a down, but I will simply say that I'm starting to hear a lot of news articles and a lot of news stories and statements from the White House lately in which it just seems that we have swapped out the word Iraq for the word Iran. I know that we're apparently able to fight, that the military constantly claims we're able to fight two full-scale wars on two different fronts. And I don't know if
the enemy lines up politely. That's if the enemy lines up politely to fight.
Yes,
like they're supposed.
That's if they march in a single line wearing red outfits. I don't really know, and again, not to denigrate anybody that's in Iraq, I don't really know if either of the wars we're fighting now count as a full-scale war in the sense that World War II, for example, was. But I will tell you, enough smaller confrontations, you know, it doesn't take that many small holes to sink a boat. So, anyway. All right, Bob Costantini, thank you, sir, and I'll let you
go. Let me give you this one little bit.
Yes.
A bit of information.
Absolutely.
Sort of related to the caller as well.
Sure.
Marines who are called up will have 5 months before they have to report for duty. And they may also have to go back to some training as well. But you will have a 5-month buffer between the time you're called up and the time you would have to report.
So they're not like yanking you out of your business like tomorrow.
You'll know at least. Yeah.
Yes. You'll have 5 months to look forward to that.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Bob. You have a good day, man.
Thank you, Ray.
All right, there you go. CNN radio correspondent Bob Costantini.
Marines have the best-looking uniforms anyway.
It really is true. You'll have 5 months to impress women with your uniform before you go to a place where you wake up every day hating your life. I'm going to do this. We'll come back. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up at 1:30, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop will be here to gloat about the misfortunes of Tom Cruise. Later on, rock star recap and the top 10 Ron Popeil inventions of all time. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show right here on AM 970. Solid State Radio. You stay right there. My name is Joseph Simmons.